The scriptures this morning are out of Psalms and John, so I would invite you to follow along this morning as we look at these. Psalms 119 verse 160 says, "All your words are true and all your righteous laws are eternal." John 1, 1 through 5 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Those are wonderful, wonderful truths. This morning I want us to start thinking about how the world has kind of lost sight of the fact that there is an ultimate truth. And there is a concept called relativity that has become embraced by much of our society. We're going to talk about that this morning because I want us to realize that these words that we just read, we can take to the bank. The concept of relativity would tell you that, well, this might be true in your understanding, but it might not be true in mine. And that's okay. Guys, I'm here to tell you, it's not okay. These words are either true or they are a lie. If they are true, then it points to us that there is only one way to heaven, that is through Jesus Christ, who is the light and the truth and the Word. If they are a lie, then let's get rid of them. And we don't need to be here. But we're going to talk about several things because something that I've not really talked a lot about is apologetics. Now, before you go down the road, I'm not going to be apologizing. The study of apologetics is actually the study of showing that there is proof for what you believe. So this morning, we're going to take a look at the concept of relativity. We're going to look at whether that is a concept that is true or not true. And we're not even going to use the Bible to use our basis on, because to be honest with you, we already know the Bible says relativity is a bunch of bunk. Okay? I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir, but guys, you're going to be out in the world and you're going to find people who believe this and who accept it and who run their lives by it. And you need to understand that this is their way of thinking and that they need to have some understanding of why they believe it. I'm going to tell you that probably most of them believe it simply because it lets them do what they want to do. All right? But let's take a look at the concept this morning. Relativism, we're going to put it in that frame, is the belief that different things are true, right, for different people and at different times. There is no ultimate truth. Okay? That is the concept of relativism. So truth is then determined by what works for me. There is no ultimate truth. There is no ultimate right. There is no ultimate wrong. Whatever you believe is true for you. All right. Got that? So, I grew up and never ever saw a semi. Just pretending. Didn't grow up that way. Semis have been around ever since I was a little kid. I'm not that much older than the rest of you, okay? So, but if I had never seen a semi, and I didn't believe in them, and I was walking out into the street, and a semi comes down the road and hits me, what happens? I'm dead. Okay. The concept of relativism was be that that really was not true. And therefore that truck doesn't exist. And therefore I'm safe in the road. You and I both know that is not truth. So we have to begin to start weighing things. And we have to understand that there is a way to find out. Now, truth is something that is going to be true in every single circumstance. That's what truth is. I like to call that, as far as the Bible, I like to call that my basic belief system, all right? That is what I'm going to base my understanding on. But someone doesn't grow up in the church. They've never read the Bible. How on earth are they going to make that decision? They are going to have to bring into it a study. And so I am challenging each of us to start thinking about helping people how to study. How to know how they can gain truth. How do we gain truth? How did you learn about fire? Most of us learned probably the hard way. Remember the campfires? Mom and Dad said, don't get too close. But I loved throwing sticks in. And eventually, I got closer and closer, and I got burned. Got the truth, finally. Okay? But you see, this is the thing that is a challenge when it comes to the spiritual realm. I can touch this. My nerves are going to tell me that I got burned, and it will hurt, and my skin will blister, and it will be sore. But what about the spiritual realm? We don't have the same way of coming up with things in that. And that's where we have to learn how to walk in the spiritual realm as well. So, I want you to, and I'm sure many of you have heard this before, and hopefully I can pull it right up here. There we go. One day, three blind men happened to meet each other, and they gossiped a long time about many things. And suddenly, one of them recalled, I heard that an elephant is a queer animal. Too bad we're blind and can't see it. Ah, yes. Truly too bad we don't have the good fortune to see the strange animal, another one sighed. And the third one, quite annoyed, joined in and said, see, forget it, just to feel it would be great. Well, that's true. If only there were some way of touching the elephant, we'd be able to know. And so they all agreed. So it happened that a merchant with a herd of elephants was passing, and he overheard their conversation. You fellows, do you really want to feel an elephant? Then follow me, and I will show you, he said. And the three men were surprised, and they were happy. So taking one another's hand, they quickly formed a line, and they followed while the merchant led the way. Each one began to contemplate how he would feel the animal and tried to figure out how he would form an image. After reaching their destination, the merchant asked them to sit on the ground and to wait. In a few minutes, he led the first blind man to feel the elephant. And with his outstretched hand, he touched first the left foreleg, and then he touched the right foreleg. Okay, I'm going to tell the story without the computer. So the first blind man felt first the left leg, and then he felt the right leg. And then he went back and was seated. Well, then the man went and got the next blind man and brought him over to the rear of the elephant. And he felt the tail, and it was switching back and forth. And so he began to think what the elephant was like. And so then he went and sat down, and then the third man was brought up. And he came to the front of the elephant, and he felt the trunk. And then he began to imagine what he believed the elephant looked like. And then he went back and they sat down together. And they began to discuss what the elephant was like. And of course, each one of them had their own opinion. The first one said, it's like a tree trunk with no top to the tree. And then the next one said, no, it was much more like a branch swinging back and forth. And then the third one said, but no, it was more like a snake. Each of them having felt a different part, but not having felt the whole, was convinced that they were right. This is much what we find with the concept of relative thinking. Because we don't have a whole picture, we are limited to only our own experience. And that creates a problem. You see, we could be very much like these blind men. And that's why it is so important that we have to search. What does the scripture say about searching? It says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Okay. When you pick up a Bible, do you think of it as a small book? You can't sit down and read it in one reading, can you? It's going to take a while. So when you have to study, you need to really study. Now I want you to stop and think, what if you only had the Old Testament? And it came to the part that it said, you're supposed to take a child that is rebellious, and that is so rebellious, you take them out of the camp and you stone them. What if you didn't have the New Testament? What would you do with that part of your understanding? If you're going to follow the Bible, if you believed it was true, you would take your child out and you would stone them when they were rebellious. We could go on and on. It says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That again is all a part of the Old Testament. But what do we need? We need to study the whole Scripture to see what God has done throughout Scripture. The Old Testament was giving us glimpses and pictures and pictures. And he said, these are the things that are right. But then he also introduced the fact, and I want you to recognize, mercy and forgiveness is not only a New Testament belief, okay? It was a part of the Old Testament as well. If it wasn't, we wouldn't have had the picture of King David. So, stop and think about that. I gave you just certain little pictures. And again, if you zero in on one little picture without taking the whole of the Word of God, you're in trouble. Then if you only take the Word of God that's printed and don't allow the Holy Spirit to do His work, which is to bring you into all truth, then you're still in trouble. It talks about how the Word of God has to become living. And it's when you take this Word of God, this little scripture part, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit zaps it, and it becomes alive in your life, and you realize what it means for you personally. Okay? But you can't take one piece, because without each piece, you've only got a part. And your picture is faulty. We need to help those who think that it's all right to do whatever I want to do because it feels good, to realize that ultimately there's a problem. Okay? It feels good to fall in love, right? Everyone been there? Feels good. All right, so that's all well and good. I fell in love, but guess what? The girl I fell in love with doesn't love me back. Uh-oh, I've got a problem. My truth is I love her. Her truth is she doesn't love me. Okay, can my truth overpower her truth? No, it can't. So, and again, we could say, okay, for those who are atheists, if any truth is right, we've got one, atheists that believe there is no God. Then we have those who are Christians or those who are religious who believe there is a God. Then if we, as you remember last week, Dr. P's wife was sharing that as a Hindu, they had many gods. So we have no God, we have one God, we have many gods. All of those cannot be correct, can they? There has to be some truth somewhere, and we have to seek for it and search for it. And relativism will not lead us to the truth. We have to learn to find a way to base our belief system on. So, I'm going to share more and more about how we can make these decisions, but I want us to recognize relativism, which is rampant in our society. This is why we have people who go out and they live with each other, and then they get tired of that one, they move in with the next one, and they get tired of that, and they move in with the next one, or on and on. It feels good to do drugs, and then we end up with drug babies. It feels good to be an alcoholic. Or I've had something horrible in my life and I want to forget it, and so I go to the bottle just to forget it. When all we have to do is go to Jesus. So I want us to recognize Everything that people are searching for, we have. We just have to learn how to share it with them and how to help them to recognize that there are things, there are ways that will lead to death. The Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof is death. So, yes, I know I said I wasn't going to use the Bible to prove my point. But I simply want us to recognize we have already invested in a study. We have found that the Word of God is true and that His Holy Spirit is there to teach us and guide us and to bring us into that living truth. But for those who haven't, that are still searching, you and I have to be ready to help them. So, with relativism, we can point out that there are always going to be faults. Something can't be, everyone's truth cannot be true. It just isn't going to happen. And we can point out the idea of the truck. We think, oh, how silly that is. But that is exactly what that definition says. I can choose to believe in something or not, and if I don't, then it doesn't exist. Well, guys, if I don't believe in fire and I put my clothes in there, I'm going to burn up. Regardless how much I believe it. So, do you understand where I'm starting this morning at? Now, just want to quickly caution us. Why I said it is so important to use the whole Bible. I want you to think about Heaven's Gate. Anyone remember that? They believed that on the end of Hale Bopp was a UFO that was coming to pick them up. And so they all took poison and died so that they could be picked up because they needed to get rid of their bodies. Guess what? There was no UFO. Remember Jim Jones? Most of you are old enough to remember that. Remember David Koresh? Okay. These were people who were all sincere. They were sincere, but they were mistaken. And the ends thereof was death. And sadly, ultimately, it was eternal death as well as physical death. So guys, let's not be deceived. Let's seek, let's study, let's get the whole picture so that we can share with this world that is dying around us. Amen? Amen. Father, as we depart this morning, let us remember that we are to be the light of the world, that You have brought us truth and You are the Word of God. Thank You so much, Lord Jesus, for Your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.